Philippians chapter 1 from verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And as we read the different epistles that Paul wrote, many of them have very similar themes, especially in the introductions. And Paul, this morning from Colossians, hit on some of these themes, especially Apostle Paul, and always praying for other believers in churches and giving thanks to God. But as Paul mentioned, one of the examples this morning, not all ladies like chocolates. And Paul, that was news to me. Your mom is the first lady I've known and met that does not like chocolate. So today was a revelation for me from Scripture. The very same truths can be addressed to different groups of people, to every Christian. And each of us receive these truths with a different background, depending on where we came from and what our experiences in life have been. Last time, several weeks ago when I spoke, we spoke briefly on verse 2 where Paul greets these brothers and sisters in this special church in the city of Philippi with the words grace and peace. And I noted that Paul took two everyday, ordinary greeting words that people used in that culture, in that time, and in that society. Grace was a Latin word from gratis, or from the word that we get gift from. It also means free. It means something that you receive. It means a present. The very same word is used by Paul when he writes about spiritual gifts or things that we have received from God. And this was a standard greeting that the Romans would use. And Paul turned it into a spiritual word, meaning what God has given to us. And it's come to be in many places of Scripture. And peace, of course, is the Hebrew word for shalom that Israel uses unto this very day. If you go to Israel, that's their standard everyday greeting, kind of like what we say, hello. But what Paul is saying is gifts and hello from our God and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we come to verse 3 here, we encounter Paul the Apostle praying once again. Paul was a man of prayer. We know this. He speaks many times about praying. What we have here in these couple of verses is an example, a teaching example of how we are to pray. Jesus prayed a lot. Do you recall, as you read through the Gospels, those of you that studied to go up to Sacramento, I think you were reading through Luke. Jesus prayed many times all night long. The day before Jesus began to choose the 12 disciples that became the 12 apostles, Jesus spent the night in prayer. Jesus spent the night before he went to the cross, practically speaking. He spent probably 3 or 4 hours in prayer. When they had the Passover meal, they were supposed to, by law, finish the meal by midnight and finish eating. And then Jesus was arrested and beaten and had the several trials. And then about 6 a.m., he appeared before Herod and Pilate. And by 9 o'clock in the morning, he was nailed to the cross. So for practical purposes, he spent probably 3 or 4 hours in prayer that night. One time the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Teach us to pray." These were the disciples that Jesus had chosen, and many of them had been disciples of John the Baptist before they were disciples of Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist was the one that came, that was the forerunner to Jesus Christ. Predvestnik, we say in Jesus in Russian. The one that spoke before Jesus. The one that went before Jesus, showing the way to Jesus. The one that said, "Behold," and he pointed with his finger to Jesus and said, "Here is the Lamb of God." These same disciples, they came to Jesus and said, "You know, John prayed and he taught us to pray. But you pray differently. Teach us to pray." And then we have the Lord's Prayer. I think we can learn a lot about how to pray by looking at how Paul prayed. And the first thing we notice here, that Paul, when he prays with thanksgiving. Oftentimes when we pray, I think we're cognizant of the fact that we need to not only ask God for things, but thank God for things. But oftentimes our thanksgiving comes at the end of our prayers. After we've received things from God, then we thank Him. Paul always prayed, and thanksgiving was first in the way he prayed. I thank, Paul says, my God. And my thanksgiving here, the context of these verses that Paul is praying. And the word grace has come in our modern day English today to have a very specific meaning. If you go someplace in public and you say, let's say grace, people think about praying for food and thanking God for food. So part of being thankful for food includes grace, but here Paul is using the same word, although in English it's not translated in the same way, and so we get a different context to this word. But Paul is praying, number one, look at the fact that he's, as we go through these verses and you read through this whole epistle, you'll notice that Paul addresses the Trinity in different verses. We have the Trinity mentioned throughout this epistle. Right now, he's praying to God the Father. Earlier, he greeted us from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Later on in chapter 2, verse 1, he's going to talk about the fellowship of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And so we have here in different aspects and different verses Paul's prayers. But he's praying to God the Father. And I think as an example and as a teaching model for us to pray. And Jesus did the same thing. He didn't pray to himself. He didn't pray to the Holy Spirit. He prayed to his heavenly Father. And the correct pattern of prayer in our life, although it's not wrong to pray to Jesus Christ or to the Holy Spirit because we are praying to God, but the proper approach to God is to approach God, our Father in heaven. In Jesus' prayer, he prays to the heavenly Father. Our Father who is in heaven, let your name be holy, so on and so forth. In another place, Jesus said, and he taught his disciples to pray, not in the Father's name and not in the Holy Spirit's name, but he said to pray in Jesus' name. And so the model and the correct way that we pray is we come into the presence of our Heavenly Father, and the things that we thank Him for and praise Him for and glorify Him for and then ask Him for are done in the name of His Son, who accomplished our salvation for us on the cross. And then, of course, being cognizant at all times that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do the things that God has called us to do. And so Paul, when he's praying, first of all, he prays to the Heavenly Father, to God, and he thanks God. Notice the personal aspect of Paul's praying. He's not saying, I'm praying to your God, although he is your God and everybody's God that believes in him and is accepted. But he's praying to my God. Paul had a personal relationship with God. Obviously, through his Son, Jesus Christ, like all of us do. But can you come into the presence of your Heavenly Father, like Paul writes in Romans, and call him my Father? Otec moi, moi Bog. See, Paul knew God very well. It was a personal thing. And Paul could come into the presence of God on behalf of these Christians and pray for them and because of them and even ask God for certain things for these Christians here. But it was based on his personal relationship with God. None of us have personally met the president. And even if we saw him and met him on the street someplace by accident, we couldn't simply walk up to him and say, Mr. President, could you do this and this and this for our church in Hollywood? I think we'd need to get a little bit acquainted first. Maybe invite him here to a service and teach him some Russian and feed him some borscht. And then maybe he'd be inclined, you know, to think differently about us. But do you see the personal aspect of prayer comes from having a relationship with God and coming to his presence on his terms. I thank my God. Now, Paul, as we mentioned before, he was a man that prayed a lot. He prayed often. He prayed about everything. He prayed about everybody at all times. Notice he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Paul had an amazing memory about not just people, not just names, but he had an amazing memory of events. And every now and then, he'd be doing something. He might be writing an epistle. He might be writing a letter to Rome. And all of a sudden, he remembers somebody. And so he writes about that person and that event that happened. Has that ever happened to you? As you're doing something and you see something or you meet somebody and it reminds you of another person or another time or another event. And Paul says here that whenever you Philippian Christians, whenever this church that meets there, maybe they met in Lydia's house. I don't know. Maybe they met in the jailer's house. We don't know where they met. But maybe once in a while, Paul would be doing something, and all of a sudden he would remember that church, and he would stop what he's doing, and he would pray for them. That's what it means. It says, it doesn't mean that I'm thinking about you all the time, every minute of every day, and I'm praying for you. He's saying that whenever you come to my mind, whenever I remember some experience I had with you, I always thank my God for you. And then in verse 4 he says, on the other hand, every time I pray for you at that time too. So he's praying for them whenever they come to mind, and he's also praying for them on a regular basis every single time he prays, because they're on his prayer list. And so you don't have one, make one. And put me on it, and put each other on it, and put our church on it. And pray for one another. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the week, you'll be working, you'll be doing something, cooking dinner, you'll be driving someplace. You'll remember something about today, something that happened today. And you'll have an occasion to thank and praise God and glorify God for the brothers and sisters here in Hollywood. And so Paul says that I'm praying in all of my prayers for you, making requests with joy. Paul could come into the presence of God and request God of certain things. Paul had a boldness that I think we don't have in our prayers when we come to God. Paul could come into the throne of grace, the presence of the very God, and ask God to do things on behalf of these Christians in his church. And Paul didn't just pray for this church. He prayed for churches all over the place. He prayed for churches that he maybe didn't have particular joy upon remembering them. The church in Corinth had so many problems, and yet Paul prayed for them. But when he prayed for the Philippian church, he had a special joy, because this church and this epistle, many times as you read it, you encounter the word joy or rejoice, happiness. And so Paul can come to God, and with great joy, with happiness, he can ask God about certain things. And what are some of the things he thanks and asks God upon? Well, the first thing in verse 5, and we'll stop on this, is that he thanks God and he praises God for their fellowship in the gospel. I think the Russian word is very accurate here. It says, Vaše účastie. The word fellowship means a participation. Paul this morning read in Colossians 1, you have been qualified to become partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Uchastniki, or nasledniki in Russian, those that inherit something from somebody that died, that left something to you. The fellowship of the gospel, the word fellowship means to be united in something that we do together that is bigger than ourselves. Sometimes we think of fellowship as just getting together and having lunch or dinner or coffee or doing something together. But the fellowship that we experience as a church is much deeper than that, because it is based on the timeless and the spiritual principles we find in Scripture. Sharing. The word communion. In Russian we say obshchenie. A cooperation together in something bigger than us. And what is it that's bigger than us? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Since day one, Paul says, since the very first day when we met, you have participated with me in spreading the gospel around the world. Later, as we read Philippians, we learn that when Paul went on his trips, this church supported him financially. They participated. They had a union. They had a commitment there. Now, in the world, fellowship is usually based on things that are not spiritual. There's groups that are united because of finances. Rich people, poor people, in-between people like us. Okay, none of us are starving to death, but none of us are multimillionaires. You know what happens with people that get together and try to do things based on material things is they exclude everybody else in the world. Rich people often want nothing to do with poor people. Poor people love being with rich people. Isn't that the way it is? But you see, in the church, God has taken us all and put us all together. And we're one body and we can fellowship together. Our fellowship is not based on culture, although a little bit. We can have people from different cultures and nationalities come here and different languages, and we can experience something common together. But culture can divide in the world. Some people get together and try to do things on the basis of education. Well, if you have no education, that excludes you usually from the groups that are educated people. But in the church, you can take somebody that has no education at all, cannot read or write, and yet can love the Lord as much as we can love the Lord, and can be a brother or a sister in the Lord. So you see, our fellowship, our uchastia in the gospel, it's not based on us, it's based on the unity that the Holy Spirit creates in our life. In Ephesians 2:13, Paul writes that one time we were far apart from each other, but now God has brought us together. Once we were strangers to each other, and God has united us through His Spirit in His body. And Paul is thankful to God, and he expresses it in his prayers at all times, in all of his prayers. And whenever this church comes to mind, he praises God and thanks God for the fact that they were united with him in spreading the gospel around the world. And from the very first day, he says, until now. And then as we get further into this epistle, we will find two other fellowships that the Apostle Paul writes about. And I'd like you to read Philippians this week and go home so you can find them. But I'll just go ahead and tell you what to look for. Look for the fellowship in the different faces of the Trinity in other words, not just with God the Father, but with Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And see if next time we can come up with the fellowship that is participated in with all believers in the church. So may God bless His word. Amen.